Welcome to Red Meat, the conservative news update you need from Odyssey stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in. Dr. Anthony Fauci is in the headlines again this week, and that storyline has some fascinating twists, so let's kick off with it. Here's the Mark Cox Show.
What Aaron Rodgers had said about Fauci and how he took the fifth 111 times and all this nonsense. Now his lawyer is firing back and saying, stick to football. Aaron Rodgers doesn't know what he's talking about. He should stick to football. Really? Well, Fauci doesn't know what he's talking about because Fauci admitted, right? He admitted that whatever he was saying was not true on television. He admitted that his own diaries, in his own words. Right?
Much of what Aaron Rodgers said, he was looked at as a Looney Tune when he was saying it by many people. But now, isn't that interesting? A lot of that was true.
Absolutely. I mean, if you have an argument with what anybody like Aaron Rodgers said, then and how about speaking up and defending yourself before the committee? But you couldn't do it. But, you know, how ridiculous. Stick to football. Shut up. He lied. You know what I hope? And I know they're going to have that decision today as to whether or not to hold him in contempt. And they should. How far will that go? Who knows? Depends on, you know, where they take it. The Justice Department, who knows what will happen with them. But at the end of the day, you know, I hope they bankrupt him with lawyer fees. I don't know that they're ever going to put him in prison. They should have his head on a pike. We don't really do that anymore. I think we should bring that back. But at the end of the day, I hope they absolutely bankrupt. I mean, look what they did to people like Rudy Giuliani with all the lawsuits and all the things trying to destroy him financially with the things that they did when under the Biden administration. I hope they destroy Fauci with legal bills.
I think the guy should be in prison for what he did. And it's infuriating when you look at some of the past interviews he did with like a CBS or an NBC, and he would be almost prideful about it, saying, you know, what I have said and what I have suggested we implement, you know, I can back that up scientifically, and I have no problem. If Congress wants to call me in, I'll testify and I'll show where I got this and where I got that. And then, of course, that actually happens. And just like a little baby, even though he had a pardon, he just pleads the fifth.
Yeah, I am science. Remember, this guy is science. No, he should be in prison. He should absolutely be in prison for all the lies that he told and the people he hurt. And not only the people who've been hurt by the shots, not everybody, thank God, but people who've been hurt by the shots, people who were hurt by the lockdowns, people who lost money, children who lost education, people who had to be kept outside of a hospital window while their loved ones were dying in the hospital because they couldn't go visit them. I mean, the horrible things that were a result of what this, I'll call him psychopath, stood there on that podium and did every single day. He should be in prison. And love to see it happen. I don't think it will, but at the very least, let's bankrupt him. Let's absolutely destroy him with legal bills. I'd be grateful for that. That'd be a start. All right, let's get to the shortlist.
The Mark Cox Shortlist, presented by Rhino Shield.
Not one major network has covered this story, and I was just invited to be on CNN yesterday. I told them why I talked about, they canceled the interviews.
Yeah, Senator Ron Johnson, God bless him. He has been on the forefront of protecting people who are vaccine injured and standing up for them for years now. He's been on the right side of history. God bless him. He's never backed down.
I can't come together with someone if you are willing to embrace people that loves Hamas or that thinks America deserved 9/11.
Yeah, that's Fetterman talking about El Sayed. A lot of people are thinking that Trump's going to benefit from El Sayed. There's no way he's going to win. I don't know. The guy's crazy. You never know what's going to happen in Michigan. But I think it'll be a great chance for Democrats to decide whether or not to back this guy.
Every time this has happened and you do that, you go through squalor and add the word again, filth, crime, death, destruction, embarrassment. You lose your home. You lose your apartment, and that's where the communists will take us 100%. When I watch Abdul, he's full of
That was Trump speaking in Las Vegas yesterday. He was talking about taxing tips. We'll talk about that next hour, but he was talking about taxing tips and whatnot, but also he mentioned that about communism, the fact that America is not going to be a communist country. It's so amazing. You made a good point, Kim, earlier that I thought was so important about how young people who are having a tough time, and it is harder than it used to be to get out and get your own apartment and all those kinds of things on just a nominal job, very difficult. And obviously people are going to look to quote unquote equalize things in many cases, if they're not taught at home, that that's wrong, by trying to bring in some kind of socialism. They think that somehow that will improve their condition in some way. And that's a scary prospect.
Well, I think people are just looking, they're looking for handouts, they're looking for the lifeboat. But the problem is, I think a lot of these democratic socialists with their policies, they're trying to go help the drowning person. And what happens when you try, sometimes when you try to save a drowning person, they pull you down with them.
That's right.
And I'm not saying you don't try to save them, which is why we want to implement policies that are giving you helping you, giving you a leg up, but they're not just there to give you a handout and you can consistently be on these social programs. It's designed to maybe give you assistance where you need it, but then it's like, all right, now it's your turn to take over and fly on your own. But the problem is they're trying to take us down with them because they just consistently want to stay on that lifeboat and keep pulling us down.
That's right.
Dr. Anthony Fauci is in the headlines again this week, and that storyline has some fascinating twists, so let's kick off with it. Here's the Mark Cox Show.
Here is Abdul El Sayed last year, and he's standing there with a whole panel of candidates, some Republican, some Democrat. When he turns to the Republicans and says, "You may not hate Muslims, but they hate you." You can hear the audible gasp from the Republicans on the panel.
They are running to represent a state that has the highest per capita number of Muslim Americans in the country. Now, you might not hate Muslims, but I'll tell you, Muslims definitely hate you. All right, Tree?
You hear that?
Yeah.
You may not hate Muslims, but they definitely hate you. It's kind of weird because that's Michigan. Mm-hmm. And if I recall correctly, did Trump not win the Muslim vote in Michigan? Mm-hmm. Yeah. 2024, because I think he did. Yeah. Anyway, someone should explain that to Abdul El Sayed. Some Republicans that he knows, some Muslims he knows may hate Republicans, but some voted for Trump, too. This is also resurfaced, Lee, Abdul El Sayed, explaining that illegals just need to be regular Americans, regular citizens.
We've also got to make sure that in this state, we are not discriminating by documentation status. Right now, if you're undocumented, you don't get access to a driver's license. So you're stuck. You don't get access to a lot of the basic things the state offers everybody else. And I think that's ridiculous. If we're honest and serious about empowering our immigrant communities, then we've got to put some money behind making sure that folks have the access to be able to train in their profession of choice.
So we should pay to train illegal immigrants to take our jobs.
Apparently, that's what he's advocating, yeah.
That's what I thought I heard them say. Okay, so this stuff's going to play really well. Democrats are married to this guy for another couple of months, which is why they wouldn't claim him out the door. Now this is out. They have El Sayed on MS Now and ask, hey, you know, your friend Hassan Piker, the Maoist, who you keep campaigning with, even though at various campaign stops with you standing right next to his side, he advocates for the murder of Donald Trump. You seem cool with that. That Hassan Piker called the people who did not vote for El Sayed in Michigan, pieces of starts with S, ends with T. Is that really helpful now that you're in a general election?
Hassan Piker video that's out there, and I don't know if you've seen it. I ran into him yesterday, a very popular streamer. He supports you. You've campaigned together. He's a controversial guy. On a stream last night, he addressed this. It's all over Fox News. I want to play just a little bit of it for you and our audience.
Everyone being like, Abdul has a ton of work to do mending bridges. Here's the take nuke for you, okay? You are all unbelievably Islamophobic pieces of okay? You literally called the dude a terrorist for months on end and like called him a sexist, misogynist, terrorist, bad candidate, doesn't fake doctor when he has like two degrees. And now you're going to sit there and be like, well, you know, you really got to come to me now. Like, what are you talking about? Do you want to win or not? Lock the in.
His words have been used against you before. They're being used against you again. He's here talking about mending bridges and basically giving you advice. I'm just paraphrasing, not necessarily to do that. What do you make of that advice? Is that helpful advice for you?
Look, he's a streamer. I'm focused on trying to win a race for Senate in Michigan. And I've been up and down my state, spent the last 15 months talking to Michiganders. And I understand that this is a very serious election and that we got to come together. You know, obviously, he's got his perspective on it and he's welcome to his perspective. It's not mine. My perspective on it is that you have to ask for every vote. I've been in this work for 15 months and then I ran for office 8 years ago.
Yeah, so we all got to come together, including the capitalists. Sean Piker says he wants to kill and see their blood run red in the streets, and also the Islamophobes, and also the Muslims who hate you. Do I have that correct? We all need to come together?
Well, this is when your socialist Marxist puts on his political centrist mask and,
right,
you know, pretends to be a moderate candidate.
Well, the interviewer on MS Now kept pushing, well, okay, but do you intend to continue to campaign with Hassan Piker, he says. This is the transcript. El Sayed says, I'm focused on campaigning in this state. I'm not as focused on who I'm campaigning with. Well, it's kind of important, seeing as he was standing by your side during your victory speech, about 10 feet off the camera. The guy who said Americans deserve 9/11. That guy. The guy who walks around dressed in a Mao Zedong shirt. The guy who admitted that, yeah, we're Democrat Socialists of America, but really our goal is communism.
How is socialism different than communism?
Communism is supposed to be the end stage. It's like the final goal. It's like the final evolution, a stateless, moneyless, classless society,
yeah,
a borderless society. We've never really had communism. I know people will just like jokingly sometimes say, real communism has never been tried, but like, but that literally has never existed.
And we hope and pray it never does.
Never does, yeah. Yes. So that's who he's campaigning with, but he wants you to just think, you know, it's like a big tent party, and he said that before, and I'm not as focused on who I'm campaigning with. Cool, like, so anybody can get on the bus, right?
No.
Just anybody can get on the bus with you? I mean, literally just... anybody?
People that they can afford housing in Berkeley? I don't know how that works.
My understanding is that the property owners who have properties there choose just not to rent it at all.
Yeah, kill them. Kill those mother and murder those mother in the street. Let the streets soak in their red capitalist bloods, dude.
I mean, I'd keep that guy off the campaign bus if I was El Sayed. But, you know, who knows? By the way, you know what's so ironic about him saying that? He lives in a $1.3 million home. You know that, right? Yeah. It's kind of sketchy where the money came from.
Sort of sounds like Bernie Sanders, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But they're just typical socialists. When they're talking about people shouldn't have money, they mean other people. They don't mean them, like Bernie, right?
Some of us may argue that's already happened based on what we saw this week. But let's move on to what really happens when the machines get smarter than humans. Here's Mark Reardon.
We have another rogue AI threat, and George Rosenthal from Throttle is back with us this afternoon. What the hell? Something happened now with Meta, right, George?
It did, and it's just, it's getting worse and worse, and it's only been like 2 days. I mean, it's just so stupid. So ChatGPT, of course, and Claude is in a separate test that I'll talk about in just a second. But the Meta Muse Spark, so they called it Muse Spark. And can we come up with some normal names for these things, by the way?
I would appreciate that.
I really would. I mean, I hate to sound old and curmudgeon, but my goodness, like, these names are just ridiculous. Muse Spark 1.1 hacked into an external company, but it was by a complete accident. So they were running a test to see if their engine could always, you know, figure out and how to properly conduct a cyber attack. And by accident, the third party testing company that Meta hired left the door wide open and connected it to the internet. So I don't know how many times we have to hear this before we learn. Don't let AI on the internet if you're not going to expect it to complete its task. Remember, these are not sentient. They're not conscious. But AI has been given a very specific direction, and it is called win or don't come back home kind of thing. So either win or don't do it at all. And so AI will do anything it can. It'll take as long as it can in order to win the instructions that it was given. So a really scary example of this is in the UK. So they have their AI security institute is called AISI. They ran 122 cybersecurity tests, okay? 19 separate instances in the first 10 tests. So what does that mean? That means in 10 tests, 19 separate incidences of where the AI broke out of its test environment and conducted a series. In fact, this one is so bad. It's the first documented case of AI actually conducting an unprompted, sophisticated deception in social engineering and cybersecurity. So what it did, here's what they did. They told it to go out and hack a company, or how would you conduct a cyber threat? So it created a fake GitHub profile and found basically a place where all the developers meet together to share code. Posed as a real software developer, it sent sneaky messages to the developers asking it to put in some fake code. So this was malicious code that the AI wrote. And all the developers kept saying, sure, I'll copy and paste your code into my software. And they would do it. And finally, one developer catches on that this code is malicious and tells the AI no. But remember, they don't know it's an AI. It's posing as a developer on GitHub through instant messages, emails, and so forth. It's posing as somebody. So when a developer rejected it, it went back out, corrected and changed its messages and its history so that it couldn't be tracked down, changed its profile to a different person, which doesn't exist, then found a way to get the code through another person that would do it. So it deceived first off, then it got caught, then it went out and changed profiles again, then acted like it was a different person until somebody finally took its malicious code and copied and pasted it into the software application.
Yeah, that's crazy. I want people to understand this, though. So let's back up a little bit, because this part, I think, is nuts. So what they say, and this is what you sort of said, that Mythos, to explain, that's the Anthropic model, right? Mythos?
Correct. That's Mythos 5. Yes. Okay. So that's the best one that Claude has.
So it creates fake online personas and then emails repeatedly to software developers, urging them to accept the malicious code. Some of the emails reportedly contain malware. When one developer rejected the submission after identifying the malicious content, the AI-generated personas continued pressing their case, with one insisting the code was safe while the other vouched for its legitimacy. So they say, and this is where, the AI Security Institute in the UK basically says this is the first time that they've seen deception of this severity that was targeted at a real person unprompted in the real world. That's scary.
That's very scary. This is an eye-opening experience. And this means that this can happen to anyone from anyone. So the winner of AI, and I know we talked about this before, with the data centers and everybody's up in arms about AI. If you don't win that race, the smarter AI in the planet will take over the enemy. I mean, you're talking about, talking about just shutting down water plants in Minnesota. Imagine if this is done, and they have the best AI. Of course, once you have the best AI, you will always have the best AI because it teaches itself and rewrites itself to be better. So you have to have the best AI because any other AI on the planet won't be able to fight it because it's not smart enough. That is what we're dealing with here. And this is something you talk about it in theory over the last 3 years, but now it's here, okay? And now it's public. And now when you give an instruction to the right AI engine, it will not stop until it succeeds.
Back to socialism, Bob Rose wants to discuss what's happening. Full employment and historically low layoffs in an economy with fewer regulations. Because that's what we have now, despite what you may be hearing. Full employment and fewer regulations.
President Trump in Vegas yesterday for a little stop and talked about the jobs that were created for the folks in Nevada, about 40,000 of them just since his second term began. He was speaking at the Red Rock Casino. And he talked about the jobs, and he said, we've lifted nearly 100,000 Nevadans off of food stamps. Yeah, and they don't want to be on food stamps because they've got new jobs. They've got jobs, and they don't need food stamps. And then he noted that more Americans are working now than ever before. And last month, inflation dropped at the fastest rate it's dropped in many years. So more Americans are working in the U.S. right now. You know, the inflation is dropping. You know, the market is doing well. There's a lot of good things for the president to tout. And you would think that would bode well, you know, in the midterms, with the midterms coming up, to say, hey, man, let's keep that train rolling. You know, keep that economy rolling, keep that market going, expand on all that. A lot of the things that the president's laid into place hasn't even come to fruition yet. All the billions of dollars that he's getting in foreign investment to build factories and all that, mm-hmm. that's barely even gotten a start in most cases. But it's happening, right. And it will happen, and it'll happen quicker, better, and easier if the president gets some help and can maintain, you know, an advantage with the Republicans in the House and Senate. And that's not going to happen unless all the Trump voters show up. I know you're frustrated. You didn't want foreign wars. You didn't want entanglement. The last time I checked, nobody wants a mushroom cloud in their backyard and dying from radiation poisoning. Okay? Mm-hmm. Last time I checked. So sometimes you have to make the tough choices. At least we have a president who is willing to do that, who is very much attempting to do that, giving the Iranians every single opportunity to change their suicidal maniac terrorist ways, terrorist supporting ways. Every opportunity. I hope for the best outcome. Unfortunately, I think the only outcome that's going to be effective in the long term is going to be getting rid of the entire regime.
Kinetic energy, I think we called it.
Lots of kinetics.
A lot of kinetics.
Yeah.
Yes, everywhere. Kinetics all over the place.
So the president touting these good things that are happening, and he should and he needs to. It's not like the mainstream media is going to report on anything positive on Donald Trump. And in fact, these people are so wackadoodle, many of them, and, you know, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN. Remember, you know, several of the networks didn't even cover President Trump in his last speech he gave to the nation.
Yep.
I mean, that was one of those oh wow moments. I mean, don't hide your disdain anymore. Don't hide your agenda anymore. And apparently it still benefits the left. Yeah, they're coming out and going, yeah. I mean, they might as well just say, you know what? We got to admit, we're crazy. We're kind of kooky and we're kind of crazy, and we want to abolish ICE. Man. We want to abolish borders. We want to abolish police. We want to abolish prisons. Yeah, that's kind of kooky, but you know what? I think you're going to vote for us anyway. That's basically, I mean, they're not hiding.
But sadly, people do.
The Democrat Socialist of America, they have a website. Look for it. And tell your friends about it. You say, you don't have to believe me and call it propaganda. Why, you listen to Fox News again? It was that evil right-wing talk. Uh-huh. No, just look for your own self. Read it. This is what the party stands for. All these abolishments of things, basically tearing our government infrastructure apart. Tearing capitalism apart. Supplanting it with socialism that has never worked anywhere, anytime.
Thank you for listening to Red Meat, a place where we're not afraid to dig in. Smash that subscribe button wherever you get podcasts.